Blog Talk Radio.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Detour is a ministry created as a safe house for men and women to come together without judgment to share their detour in life. Have you ever framed your world only to find out life, roadblocks, settling, being stuck, and suddenly a detour appears? What does your detour look like? This ministry is designed for us as kingdom ambassadors to come together in unity on one accord to live on purpose through the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God, everything has purpose, even the detours. For more information about the Detour Radio Show, contact Rosalind Farrell at 972-292-8544 or email whatisyourdetour@gmail.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rosalind Farrell, and I will be your host tonight on the Detour Radio Show. Before we get started, I'm going to ask everyone besides our very special guest to mute their lines, and you will have the opportunity to unmute when we come to Q&A.
Yeah.
Please hold. Before we get started, I will open up with prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, God. Just thank you once again for this opportunity, oh God, for the Detour Radio Show, God. God, this is all for your glory. So whatever needs to be said, oh God, only you have. Just we decrease right now, God, so that you increase in us, oh God. Father God, we ask for deliverance. We ask for healing. Whatever that needs to go forth, it shall go forth on tonight, oh God. I thank you for these guest speakers. I thank you for their yes, oh God. I thank you for our kindred friendship, our sistership, God. I take none of them for granted. God, I thank you and I honor you. I give you all the praise and glory and all these things I pray in your loving son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So before we get started, make sure I do have at least my special guest speakers unmuted. So I'm not going to go through a long, drawn-out introduction. I want everyone to know that each one of these young ladies, I hold them very dear to my heart. I have First Queen Arlinda Terry Boyd. There are countless number of years that I've been friends and sisters with everyone on this line, so I'm not even going to go through how many years we've been friends, but Terry is very special to me. We grew up when I moved to the Illinois area, so I'm going to let her share whatever she wants us to know about her when she goes through telling us her story. Next, we have Queen Ronithia Rice Curtis, who is also special. I hold her close and special in my heart. She is also my sister and also my friend. The next is Queen Deidre Lightfoot, another one of my true dear friends and sisters, and I hold her close and dear to my heart as well. And then we have Queen Rhoda Valentine, my sister, my best friend, my I always say we peanut butter and jelly. So we just like, there are no words. Then I also have Queen Patricia Wilson. She's also my sister, my friend. We grew up together. One of my true friends that I met when I first moved here, moved to the Illinois area in the seventh grade. So, again, I'm not going to go into a long, drawn-out introduction. I'm going to allow these young queens to tell who they are when they share their story. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with our Q&A. Again, thank you, ladies, for your yes coming on to share this time. The topic of tonight is to lose a parent. So all of my friends have their own unique stories, and I'm going to allow them to share their own stories without going into detail. So the first question, I will start with Queen Arlinda, and do we have you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started with the first question. So the first one is, so sharing your story, I think it's very important for each of you to share who you are anything that you would like to share with us as it relates to your family, your siblings, your life experiences, and then your suddenly moment, and you can just share with us what happened.
Hello, everyone. It's a blessing to be on the show tonight. My name's Arlinda Boyd, and as Rosalind mentioned earlier, I've grown up with her. I grew up in the church. My mother is a pastor, and my father was a deacon, and then later on they were co-pastoring our church. But pretty strict family setting. And it was kind of like the Huxtables, you know, you just kind of, we kind of blended together. I have one sibling, Earl Jr. But it was a close, we had a very close family, but it was very set that, you know, you had to attend church. And my father was a very firm person, but I was daddy's girl, so I was his only girl. My thing is that, I had an enjoyable life. I missed out on a lot of the negativity. My life was good. My mother was firm with that belt though. My, as Cookie too, we kind of shared similarities. I think Rhoda was the only one that I don't know if she missed the whoopings. She may have gotten the whoopings, but as far
no.
as I know. But, woo, my mom was real with the belt. She was the disciplinary. I kind of got away with it with my father more often. But recently, I had a very good childhood. I can't make any excuses for anything that I may have failed in my adulthood. I feel like I'm a strong woman. I had very strong parenting growing up. But in January of 2021, I lost my father. So I just celebrated a year, which is a very comforting that we're doing this at this time. But I am not sad to those who may be going through. I'm not sad because my dad was a man of God, and he was he influenced us, and I got to see him thanks to my job being so good to me. I got to be able to spend time all the way up until my father took his last breath. So I worked from home, and I was able to work with my father. So he was at his the last but still preaching and helping us enjoy the Word of God. And it was the day before, I believe, that he went. He still was talking about how good God was. I don't have the sadness. I'm very comforted. His spirit is with me, which we share the Spirit of God. So it was a very good thing for me to see it. I do tell everyone this, I don't take anything for granted anymore. And if you're in need of comfort after losing a parent or a loved one, make sure that you just remember the good things and the positive things that they gave you. And that's what experience has been is really, I had my sad times. I'm not going to say I cry. I cry because I miss them. But knowing that he's in a better place and knowing that he was ready to go be with the king. My dad said, I am ready to go. So it was nothing that we were rejoicing with him. I'm actually envious because he's able to sit and experience the things that God, the promises of God. So that is my introduction testimony about my father.
Thank you so much for sharing it, Arlinda. Amazing testimony and amazing woman with amazing strength. You know, y'all know amazing is my word, right? So you're going to hear amazing a lot. So thank you again for sharing that. I do want to remind everyone, mute your line, because we do have some background noise, and I want to give all of our guest speakers the respect that they deserve when they're speaking. So next, we'll move on to Queen Ronithia.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi,
yes,
my name is Ronithia Curtis, and I just wanted to share my story with everyone. I come from a family of four. I have two brothers and one sister, so I was the middle child. And growing up, I was in a single family home. My dad passed away when I was 2 years old. And so my mom raised us. She never remarried. So my mom raised us as a single home. Now, what I can say is I never had the two-parent home, but we had the most loving home in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids with the two-parent homes would come to our house because she was so nurturing and she was loving. She was there all the time. And didn't get whoopings. I think I got two whoopings in my life. And that's when she found out I was pregnant as a teenager. I was like, you whooped me with the child in my stomach? but she, and then we only knew, she never raised her voice. She had the same tone all the time. The only time we knew we were in trouble is she said our whole entire name. She would call us by our first, middle, and last name. So we knew it was like, oh, what did we do? Did you wash the dishes? You know, it was one of those things trying to figure out, you know, what did we do, because she said our whole name. I didn't hear Nene. I heard Ronithia de Havilland Rice. I'm like, oh, my God. So growing up with her, it was just loving. And even with me being going down a different path, she never understood, because, like I said, she was the mother that loved all the time. And she didn't understand. She's like, well, where did I go wrong? But what she didn't know is that I was raped. And I didn't know how to share it with her. And so me fighting that internally as a kid, not knowing how to deal with it, you know, it was like I pulled away from her, because for some reason I felt that she was the reason. I blamed her, and then afterwards I realized it wasn't her fault, because she thought I was in good hands. And so after dealing with that, during her time before she passed September 15th, 2018, and I'll never forget, because the night that she passed, she had just left church. So earlier that day, we were talking about her funeral arrangements. She called me and she's like, oh, I forgot something about the funeral arrangements. And I was like, what is it, Mom? She said, you don't forget the plot. I said, well, Mom, I don't do that type of stuff until, you know, afterwards. She's like, oh, okay, well, that's the only thing. Let's go over the obituary again. So we went over the whole obituary. And she's like, okay. And we would do this periodically. But what kept me grounded is when she came to church, I asked her, I said, you can come to church? She said, yeah. She went through the service. Nobody knew she was in the service, which everybody knows when Mother Rice is in the service. She sat there quiet the whole service. And then afterwards she sat there, and I was like, Mom, you need to, they ready to take you home? She said, oh, I'm just going to sit here a little longer. She's like, oh, okay. So I locked up the church, and she left when I locked up the church. So I put her in the car with one of the deaconess at the church, and I buckled her in, and I was like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow for the service. Love you. I live in St. Charles. She was living in Edwardsville at the time. So as soon as I opened my car garage, my niece called me, and she said, the ambulance here with Grand. So I didn't even go in the house. I just called my brother from the phone, and I was like, come on, we need to go to Edwardsville. And so we get to Edwardsville, we get to Anderson, and she had passed before we got there. She had already passed in the ambulance. So just being there and then walking in, seeing my pastors, everybody there, and the memories. And I tell Cook Rosalind all the time, I always think about her. She says, give me my flowers while I'm living. Rosalind was the last person to give her roses the week before she passed. And when I say she was the happiest person, and people say, well, you wasn't sad? And I was like, no. And my family's like, I think you knew. And I did know. You know, she had a time frame, but she told me she was ready. She said she felt that her being in church in the kingdom, that her work was done, and she was ready. So that gave me a sense of relief to say, okay, I can't be selfish and hold on to her when she's already told me she's ready. And so that's how I deal with it. Like Terry was saying, the anniversaries come up. I don't cry. My granddaughter, we have she do a balloon release every year. We order a certain food, whatever the menu. My granddaughter puts everything. She's 9 now. But ever since she was 6, she's always put something together on that day for a grand. And it's different because my sister grieves differently than I do, and it hurts so bad because, I mean, she has it where I had friends that grieve like that. And I think with me, my mom prepped us because I never knew where my father was buried until I did my aunt's eulogy at her funeral and went to the grave. So all those years until I was 49, I never knew where he was buried because she died 6 months after my mom. And so my mom was the type of person, do not go back to the cemetery. There's nothing there. So never knew how to even grieve anybody. Had a close friend that passed and took it hard. But in every year you think of the things, but she taught us that once she was gone, she was in a better place to move on and make sure we continue the legacy that she left behind. And that was the hard part, not wanting to continue what she left behind. So that's the part of my story.
Thank you. Thank you, Ronithia, for sharing that. To know Mother Rice, it was to know Mother Rice. I mean, such a sweet, humble, loving mother. And every time you share that story about sharing the roses, I just get chills because we just never – we never know. So I always hold that memory of my last encounter with her close in my heart. So thank you again for sharing that, Ronithia.
You're welcome.
All right, so we'll move on to next, Queen Deidre.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello to my sisters on the panel. My sister, Rosalind, who is the host, I appreciate you for even asking me to be on here because we talked about it, and it was very important to me to be able to do it. Like I said, my name is Deidre Lightfoot. I am born and raised from Evansville, Illinois. My mom's name was Hattie Sue Carpenter Lightfoot. I come from the Carpenter family in Evansville, a prominent family, I would say. Evansville's not that big, but, you know, the Carpenter family was well known, as well as my mom. My mom, she was known to be very strong. She didn't play. She was just that strong person. I have 2 children, Jada and Derek, and this is my journey. My mother passed in 2015 in June. It'll be 7 years this June. She passed away 2 days after my birthday. To make a long story short, My mom was known to call me at least 5 or 6 times a day. I also was very close with my mother. We also worked for many years together, along with my other aunt and my uncle. We worked for many years together, and like I said, she was known to call me a lot. So this particular time, I called her, and she didn't want to talk, and that, of course, that was unusual for her. And I felt as though she couldn't breathe. So, oh, and by the way, I am an only child. So my journey is a little bit different. So my uncle called and said that she passed out. My mom is the type, anything that goes wrong is always her sinuses. And I used to tell my mom, everything is not your sinuses. There's something wrong with you, and we're about to go to the hospital and find out. So we get to the hospital, and sure enough, they took x-rays, and she had double pneumonia. She got admitted. They then did a CAT scan of her brain, which I found was unusual, but they did it and found out that she had the onset of dementia. So they put her on a whole bunch of antibiotics and things like that, and she was starting to get better. They then informed me that she would probably need to go to the rehab across the street because she was frail and weak, and by her going there, they could get her stronger. So she was okay with that. I was fine with that. So the night that she left the hospital to go over to the rehab, I asked her if she wanted me to go, and she said no. And my mom, you have to know my mom. My mom thought it was dangerous for me to be out after 5 o'clock. So she was like, we're leaving at 8, and no, I don't want you to come. So that was that. So the next day I went to the rehab. They took me into this conference room, and the directors were in there. So I'm just thinking I'm in there to sign papers, insurance papers and all that. Where it gets confusing is Terry, who was on the panel, or Linda, her mother at the time was part of hospice, and I didn't know it. I just thought she was part of, of the rehab. So I was sitting down, and one of the nurses came in, and she said, are you Patty Lightfoot's daughter? And I'm like, yes. She said, oh, your mother had a great night. She did her exercises, like, you know, with no problem. She's in good spirit and all that. So I'm like, okay, cool. So then I was still filling out papers. So then another nurse comes in, and then all these other people start following her. I also had my two aunts with me at the time, and we were sitting at the table, and so one of the nurses excused herself and said, you are Deidre Lightfoot. And I'm like, yes. And she was like, well, I'm sorry to inform you, but I have, and she was a hospice nurse. And she said, so I remember thinking, what is this hospice about? And she was like, I'm sorry to inform you, but I assessed your mother, and she probably won't make it through the night. So that's confusing because one nurse is saying one thing and another nurse is saying something else. And it was just confusing. So Arlinda's mom, I remember, put her hand on mine, and both my aunts got up and surrounded me because they knew I was about ready to just freak out. So anyway, to make a long story short, you know, hospice has to do their thing. I think the worst thing for me was when they give you the DNR papers, because my mom didn't have a will or anything. So I really was confused at what to do. I didn't want to play God. And I know that signing those papers to me at the time felt like I was playing God. And the DNR papers are to, you know, do not resuscitate. So I'm like, well, no, no, I'm not signing that. And then they informed me, you know, by your mom being so frail, if we was to give her CPR, we would probably break all her ribs and so on and so forth. So reluctantly, I signed the papers. Well, my daughter was back there with my mom, and she came back and she said, you know, grandma's not responsive and this is not looking good. So I finally went back there with my mother, and this part is so important to me because I asked, there was people in the room, but I asked them to leave because I wanted to be able to have a conversation with my mother, because I believe that when a person is about to transition, it is important to let them know that it's okay. To me, it helps in their transition, because a lot of the time before they transition, they are waiting for it okay, or to let them know somehow that you're okay. So, like I said, my mom wasn't talking to anybody. She wasn't responsive to anybody. So I'm talking to her, and they was like, she can hear you, but, you know, we're just making her comfortable. So I'm telling her I love her, I love her, I love her. And she finally, she turns her head over to me, and she opens her eyes for a brief second. She smiles, and she says she loves me. And she closed her eyes again, and then she passed away the next morning. And it was also important for me to be there during her last breath, because I feel, you know, my mom was there for me when I took my first breath. So it was only the right thing to do for me to be there when she took her last. And I thought that I was going to be sad, like really, really sad. But at the time, for me, it was a beautiful thing to be able to witness that, because if anybody has any faith that's on here, you can feel when God is in the room, and he was. And so I was satisfied with that. She had a little smile on her face, and that was that. But, you know, by being the only child, you know, I had my family and I had my friends, but, you know, you don't really have anybody to, you know, because, you know, then things start happening. You got to plan for a funeral. You got to do this. You got to do that. So, but me and my mom had a great relationship. My mother loved me to no end, and she loved my kids in the same way. And I was lucky to have had her as long as I did. And my kids were lucky to have her as a grandmother, because, you know, she showed them a lot and she showed me a lot. And I personally, when anniversaries come, it still bothers me. But that's just me, and everybody's journey is different. So that's my story.
Thank you, Deidre. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when you start talking about, you know, you start sharing your story and say, my mom thought she had to be in at 5 o'clock, and you and I often talk about the stories when you spend the night out to the house, and she would call. What y'all doing? We just told you 10 minutes ago, and I just started laughing when you said that. Those are the memories that I have of Hattie Sue and all the funny stories that you and I share when you used to spend the night out to my house, because she knows she used to call like every 5 minutes. You would be like, Mom, I just told you. But thank you for sharing your story. And I also want to tell you, Deidre, I am so proud of you. You just don't know when you call me and was like, we talk about it often, and I ask you, like, yep, I'm ready. Like, that blessed my heart. So I am so proud of you. Thank you for your yes. And you are such an amazing woman with amazing strength. So continue to share your story, because you just don't know.
Thank you so much. Love you, sister.
You're welcome. All right, next we have Queen Rhoda.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Hey. My name is Rhoda Valentine, for all of those that don't know, but I'm sure everybody that's listening knows. My maiden name is Vaughn. Born and raised in Edwardsville, been there all my life. And grew up with Trisha and Deidre in the same neighborhood. We all lived a street over from one another, from sitting in the little green chairs downstairs on the old Mountjoy Church to attending Sunday school to just growing up and just going through things in life, okay? So then Terry moved to Edwardsville from Madison in third grade. Me and Terry couldn't stand each other when she first came to Edwardsville. We used to fight and we used to fight. And then we became the best friends. Who was that laughing? Deidre?
You know, we had to go to Aunt Jane's room because we was in trouble all the time.
And always in Miss Hornberger's class. In her room, because we was always doing something at N.O. Nelson School. And what she said was, listen, y'all got to stick together and stop all this foolishness. But anyway. And then Cookie moved to Edwardsville from Mississippi, the summer before we was going into seventh grade?
Yep.
And so growing up, my parents got divorced. I don't know if it was fifth or sixth grade when I was at N.O. Nelson. So they got divorced, which I felt as though was the best thing. It was a very toxic household. So they got divorced and went their separate ways. So I was pretty much raised in a one-parent home. I spent a lot of time on Isherwood with my grandparents. I went down to my big mom and big dad's house, but I spent a lot of time out on Isherwood. Me and my Aunt Chris were very close, so she was like a second mother to me. And then my Uncle Taylor in Chicago, he was like we had a very, very strong bond. And we still do, actually, but growing up as a kid, my family was close. The Vaughn side of the family was very close. We would all get together Christmas and the holidays, but my dad was a very strong individual. He was no nonsense. Growing up, I was scared of my dad. He didn't whoop me. He whooped me one time, and I'll never forget it, y'all. He didn't play about food. You better not go in the kitchen picking off no food, no meat. He had cooked a big old steak, and I had picked off of it. And he came in the kitchen. He said, "Who picked off of that meat?" I said, "I did." Baby, when I say he went out to that backyard, just when we lived on Myrtle Street, and got a whipping willow tree in the backyard. He got one of them things and tore me up. But I'm telling you, that was the only time he had ever whooped me. The only time my mom ever whooped me was when we were living on Myrtle Street. And I ran out the house to run across the street for something. And it was a car that was coming down the street, and it almost hit me. And I tell you, I never forget, it was Mr. Winston Brown in that brown car that he had. I never forget it. And I almost got hit. And when I say she wore me out, but never again did she ever whoop me again. Well, anyway, growing up, like I said, once they split up, my mom worked a lot. She worked shift work. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents and my oldest brother, Bianca. Out on Isherwood, I spent a lot of time with the Vaughn side of the family. Me and my dad did not have a close relationship. I had a lot of issues with that growing up. And even as an adult, I dealt with that. But at some point, you have to forgive in order to move forward. Because I knew he loved me, even though he never told me that. Well, I knew my mom loved me, even though I never remember her really saying it. And I believe it was based on just how they were raised. So, but I knew he loved me. I knew he did. And it was very hard for him to say, "I love you" back when I would say, "I love you." But that's okay. And I say that because Father's Day of 2020,
I went to sing. And went over there and spent some time with it. And we were getting ready to leave, and I said, I love you so much. And he said, I love you too. That right there did it for me. I was so good. I was good. Not knowing that August 3rd of that same year, he would leave here. I'll never forget that morning. I got a call. I was sleeping in bed. Got a call. Someone said, Rhoda, the ambulance, the police is at your dad's house, or the police. Not, I jumped up, threw on my sweat, put on my shirt, jumped in that car, still asleep. And I think I made it over there on Olive Street in 2 minutes. I said, well, if I get stopped, they're going to have to just follow me over there to Olive Street because I ain't stopping. Got over there. Police was in the driveway everywhere. Ran in the house. He was gone. Couldn't believe it. Because we all know we gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't prepared for that. I really wasn't. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was hard. It was also hard because my dad never remarried. Me being the oldest sibling, it's me and Stacy, and then I have another brother and sister, which he had by his significant other. So it really, really hit me when the police officers was like, okay, we need someone to sign this paperwork. And she said, that would be you, Rhoda. And at that point, I knew I had to handle it, which I did. But it's hard being the oldest sibling and having to prepare for your parents' funeral. I had a lot of family support, unbelievable support. But it was a lot. It really was. It really was. I am not one to not show my emotions when it comes to grieving. Everyone grieves differently,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think a lot of people could handle my grief because I'm very open with it. And I will say the only other time I can remember there were two other times that I can remember feeling like I felt that day. It was worse that day, but it hit me hard when my Aunt Chris passed away and when Cassie passed away. So I hadn't felt that feeling in a while. But it only made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I handled it, did what I had to do. I thank God for giving me the strength to continue on, because some days it's hard, but how I deal with it is by keeping busy. I work a lot. And that's my way of dealing with grief. I do. I really do. It's hard because Victoria moved into the house, And I go over there. It's hard. It really is. So I just pray and ask God to give me the strength to keep going. I don't know. Just never thought that I'd feel this way, but it is. It's very hard for me. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank you all. I thank you, Cookie, for even putting this together on this subject, because I don't think I've ever really, I think I've talked to you all about it, but I haven't really opened up on a forum like this to tell how I really felt. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate all of you sharing your stories because it's helping me. So, and
amen.
Really, that's all.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to pull myself together. Thank you for being transparent. Thank you for sharing your story. I mean, I remember talking to you that morning, and I always have looked at you like, man, this girl has so much strength. Like, I'm like, brother, what you doing? I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm over here. I'm cleaning up the house. And I was like, oh, my God, I probably would be somewhere. I don't know. Like, just you, just the strength of God just kicked in, and you probably – don't, or you probably do remember that, but you just, I mean, you kicked in, like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm like, this girl has amazing strength, and you've always been like that. You'll go through something, you just, I got it, I'm good, I'm straight, I'm, you know, you might, you cried, you did all of that, but you kicked in, and that was nobody but God. And I remember, I have memories of your dad, too. I remember on the weekends, you would go and spend the night with him. And my mom would let me spend the night. Girl, we had to be in that house after that game, and I used to be so scared. Girl, you like, come on, girl, we
can you know he didn't play.
I was like, I'm sitting in trouble again. He didn't whip you, girl. Them looks he used to give you. We used to be like, come on, we got to get in this house. So I remember that, him getting up, cooking them greens, some pots clicking on Sunday morning, honey. I remember all of that. So those are my memories of him. And so he was just so real. I knew he didn't play, but he was real. You would tell him something, he, like, look.
He kept it all the way.
Yeah.
And if he messed with you, if he liked you, you knew it. If he didn't, he messed with you. That's just how.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I said, believe it or not, you just like it.
Yep.
You really are.
I think it's split up. She got some Margie in her too, honey.
Yeah, she got some.
Okay, then.
Okay.
All right. Trisha.
Yes, ma'am.
Trisha, if you come on and share your story.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Rosalyn, for inviting me to be a guest on your podcast to discuss the loss of a parent. Patricia Wilson, and I am the daughter of the late Louis and Martha Wilson. I am the youngest of seven, three brothers, one deceased, and three sisters. And my life experience transitioning from the small town of Edwardsville to a large metropolitan city to attend Johnson C. Smith University was at first a shock, to the point where I was like, I am not staying here. I showed out. I mean, I showed out. And my mom said, you're staying. I called my dad, and he said, you can come home. Now imagine that. Needless to say, my mom won the battle. And I would not change the experience for anything in the world. After college, I made the decision to not return to the safe haven I called home and to live on my own. Having the support of parents who instilled the foundation of putting God first, striving for excellence, working hard, and taking pride in what I do has become a constant in my life. And although being the youngest of seven siblings, I know you all would like to say that I'm spoiled. Siblings would probably say that I'm spoiled, I'm rotten,
or whatever. But at the same time, through those life lessons and those moral values that my parents taught me has in some instances led me to no longer have that mindset of that youngest spoiled child, but to help make decisions to ensure that our family unit, our parents created, stays in place. Some of the memories that I have of my mom are just so many fond memories. I like to liken her to like a Jill and a master of all trades, a confidant. She was a godmother. She was a counselor. She was a singer. She was a seamstress. And can I tell you, my mom could sew her behind off. She made Rhoda's wedding dress. And I remember one time I was looking through the Spiegel catalog. I'm really getting ready to date myself because I don't even think they have Spiegel catalogs anymore. But I remember bookmarking an outfit that I absolutely loved. And would you know that that same year for Christmas, I had that ensemble, but my mom made it. Oh, my gosh, so many memories. I can still hear her singing and getting filled with the Spirit at church. She would stand on the edge of the piano, and Miss Wider would play. And when it got good to my mom, she would throw that head back. It was over. And I think some of you could remember and can attest to it. I talked to my mom daily when I was in college and even after college. I recall some of my friends saying, here, you tell your mom everything. And I was like, no, I'm not crazy. I don't tell her everything. But with you that are mothers, you know your mom, and my mom knew her child. And for memories for my dad, preteen, if my dad left the house, I was going to and thought I was supposed to be with him. My dad was a hard worker. He had multiple jobs. I mean, just so many memories. He would help men in the community find jobs. Oh, my goodness. He would, if anybody came to the house, he was always welcoming. He would always offer you something to drink or eat. And if you talked to him on the phone, he ended every call with, do you need anything? And, I mean, just precious memories, just so many memories that I carry with me. But then that suddenly happened, you know, and with my mom, I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night on July the 22nd, 1998. I recall the nurse saying to call the family back. I can't explain it, but the phone would not work in that hospital room. So back in the day, you had to go to a payphone because cell phones were, for me anyway, non-existent. And in that short amount of time, when I made it back to the room, my mom had taken her last breath with my sister Bonnie, Deacon and Mrs. Beard, and Reverend Jackson by her side. On Tuesday, July 14th, 2015, my dad took his last breath with his children and son-in-law by his side. I didn't understand in those moments what to feel, how to feel. All I knew was they were no longer going to be here. And in my quiet time of a reflection, I knew it was all a part of God's plan to heal them completely by calling them home. And as Terry said early, just about her father, of knowing his belief, that's with my parents. The earthly side of you, yes, you are going to hurt. But whenever you know that your parents, your loved ones had a belief in God, all you can do is rejoice. I remember when my dad, the day before my dad passed away, we were in the room with him, and he had drifted off to sleep. And he woke up, and he was looking around, and we were like, Daddy, you know what's wrong? He was like, nothing. He said, I thought I had gone to see Jesus. You know, so those moments, you can't help but, you feel sad, but you can't help but rejoice of knowing that they're with our Heavenly Father. So that gives me so much peace and just knowing that that's where they are. And
Rosalind, whenever you were asking, you know, if I wanted to be on the, you know, on the call to be a speaker, it just made me start reflecting on so many different things. And we never know, and we never know what we're going through and how we're going to handle something. But it's this song by Daryl Coley, and it is, "He's preparing me for something that I cannot handle right now."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's making me ready just because he cares to carry out the next matter in my life. So just know that in our lives that we may go through a valley moment, but we know that our Heavenly Father is there with us. And in times when we lose our loved one, he's still there with us. And little did we know that he was preparing us even for that moment. And even, Rhoda, for you, it's hard, and you embrace and you feel whatever it is that you need to feel.
Yes.
You feel it. And don't ever let anyone say to you, oh, you will get over it in so much time or whatever. No.
Mm-hmm.
You can have good days and you can have bad days. But what I know is when you can reflect on the good times, we have laughed, we have memories. I can remember, you know, Hattie Sue and Oda V. It's just so many memories. So for me and my loss, that's what I carry, and I know that that's what sustains me, is knowing that they are with me and that they watch over me, and I look at my parents as my guardian angel.
Amen. Thank you, Trisha, for sharing your story. And I do have my fond memories of your mom and your dad as well. I remember your dad is just, he was a quiet, humble man. Didn't say much, and he was just humble. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but I was the first one to get pregnant at 18. And I had the greatest support from all of you. And it was real hard. And if something happened one Sunday when we were in church, and Trisha, your mom made me some booties, some yellow booties to wear while I was pregnant. Do you know I just threw them booties away probably about 5 years ago because I had worn them out. Do you remember that?
I remember the booties, the crochet booties that you would make.
When I was pregnant. The yellow booties.
Yeah.
And you're right. She put so. When you said, I forgot about she had made Rhoda's wedding dress.
Yeah.
Sold her butt. Yeah. Wow.
And the bridesmaid's dress. Brand new. And she made y'all's bridesmaid's dress.
Right. Oh, that's right. She sure did.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember going over there to get fitted.
Ladies, I am just like, y'all have blessed my soul tonight. I also have lost a parent, and most of you know. At 10 years old, I lost my biological father. And as I got older, I would always question or always think about being that young, would I still have memories of my biological father? And I thank God that although he passed when I was young, I still have memories. Even as a child of my father, him taking me fishing, him sending me my first stereo because I thought I was Cinderella. I mean, I have fond memories of my dad. And I hold those, even at 53, very close to my heart because that was one thing that I would pray, like, God, don't let me lose those good memories of remembering my dad, even at the young age of 10. So. Thank you for sharing your story. Each one of you have your own unique story. You have amazing strength. And grief is not something that anyone could put a time clock on. We all grieve different. You all have your fond memories of your parents. So hold on to those special memories. Cry. Do whatever you need to do. But know one thing, God made us a promise that he would never leave nor forsake us. And, Trisha, I love how you summed it up with Daryl Cole's song. So that's it. That song right there will get you through some of your rough days. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
So I am, because we've been on a while, so I'm going to give our callers the opportunity if they would like to ask any questions or make any comments at this time. You can unmute your lines. I do have everyone unmuted. You want to make any if you have any questions or have any comments, you can do so at this time.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
This is Roslyn, Cookie's mother, and I just want to say how proud I am of all of you. I'm just so proud of how you shared your God. You all have godly foundations. You've got God in your life, and, you know, all of you have talked about the love of your parents and your family, and that's a lot to be in a loving home with loving parents, siblings, grandmothers, whoever, aunts, uncles. That's, you don't know how much that means for a family to have that. And you all have endured much. You've survived. You've overcome. And I am so blown away with the strength in each of you because, you know, as a mother, mothers and fathers are our children's first loves. I don't know if you know that, but we are the ones that you love first. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful for all of you as sister friends of my daughter and the bonds that you share. And I'm thankful to God for you and the God that's in each and every one of you. And I'm going to stop right here, but I'm going to say this. As Cookie's word, you all are amazing. And I want to add that you're great, you're awesome, and you're just phenomenal women, all of you. And I'm just so proud of you. You guys have made me laugh. You've made me cry. You've taken me back to when you all were friends. And y'all just don't know. Your mothers, your fathers, we all were praying for y'all because I'm going to just say with Cookie, it was questionable if she was going to make it to adulthood. But I am thankful to God for the amazing woman of God that she is and mothers, all of you. I'm just so proud of you, and I thank you for sharing everything that you shared tonight. And I just love y'all. Y'all are just wow.
Love you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you too,
Miss
Lincoln, and them good
friends.
Thank you.
All right.
Love you.
Well, hello, you guys. The first thing
hello,
that you
lady.
Were going to say was,
hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. This is Sharon Carpenter. Deidre's aunt, Sharon. Hi. I am so proud of you guys. I'm looking at, thinking about Rhoda and Deidre and Trish as the three musketeers coming up around Edwardsville. You couldn't part them. And Arlinda came along, and I got to meet her and as Terry. And then Cookie popped up. I tell you what, I'm so proud of all of you young ladies that you love the Lord the way you do and that you had parents who have loved the Lord and have taught you such a wonderful legacy. So I'm just proud and thank you for all that you shared this evening. God bless you all.
Oh,
thank you.
Bless you as well.
Yeah. Okay, do we
hello,
have anyone
hello.
Else?
I'd like to chime
go
in
ahead.
If I may. Yeah, hey, my name is Carlos, and I had the pleasure of knowing Roslyn for a while now, and I always admire the strength that she has and how she's been such an easy person to talk to. And I've seen her, and she always has an amazing panel of people come on with whatever she's the topic is. And this group that she has here tonight, I kind of, you know, can see the bond that you guys have, and I think it's amazing that you guys can kind of stick together through the time and hold that vibe throughout the years, despite the ups and downs that we have experienced in life. Okay, and the topic today it's kind of timely, but it's kind of, you know, close. It's caught to me as well. That's, you know, it was both my parents, but this one time coming up that's special to me because it was my mom, my first love. You know, anniversary date is a greater place is coming up on Valentine's Day. And that's so it means that's why the date always been kind of sentimental, means something more to me because that was the last time. Well, I didn't actually see her on that day, but the last encounter with her was right before Valentine's Day. And it's kind of ironic because I never forget how I won Valentine's Day prior to that. A year before that, I bought her a heart, you know, a clock heart. You know, I thought she was like, hey, this is I'm going to get this for mom Valentine's Day, years before that. So it just so happened I was going to culinary school at the time. It was around, we were on to the chocolate thing, right around Valentine's Day. And I presented her with a box of chocolates just before I departed going out on my normal vacation. I usually go out on Valentine's Day. So I got this, as I departed with her, I never guess she told me, hey, the chocolates are good. Thanks so much. They, you know, you did a great job. Gave me a hug and kiss. I said, well, I'll see you when I get back. Unfortunately, that was the last time I seen her. And I got a call early Valentine's morning from my brother-in-law. Said, hey, so now I got some bad news for you. And that was the last thing I suspected. You know, so that kind of, this day is kind of sentimental for me. It touched me really, you know, hard. And when I got home to kind of go through her things, it's kind of ironic. I'm looking at the clock on the wall that I remember buying her, that hard clock. It had stopped at the time she passed away. And I never forget that, and I was always on that kind of close and dear to me. So I just thought I had to share that with you since these talented women came on sharing their emotional and kind of close stories about their parents, and we all have them, and we all have to live with the fact that one day we all going to move on, you know. And I gained my strength from knowing how she brought me up, how she nurtured me, how she gave me the strength being, you know, raising two boys and having still had that strong support and never lost that love and respect for her because she made sure we kept that. But she's the one that got me into church, got my knowledge and love for God, as you know, brought us all down to church. I think that's something that I'll always cherish for the rest of my life and hold that deep memory of her. And I don't mean to go on and talk like this, but sometimes, just like you ladies, y'all understand it. When you start talking about your mom, your parents, and your parents on, it just kind of snowballs. Okay, but I'm going to cut it short. I thought I'd, you know, get that in, and that kind of made my week, made my day, and I appreciate the support that you guys kind of stick together and cherish with each other for throughout the years, and that's something that's priceless, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. My name is Wanda Joyner Thomas, and I just wanted to chime in, first of all, to say I am so excited to hear some voices that I haven't heard in quite some time. I came to Edwardsville to go to college. And fell in love with the place, fell in love with the people. And Miss Trisha, Miss Deidre, Miss Rhoda are three that I do remember. And so I'm just so excited to hear all of you tonight, strong black women, godly black women. You have truly blessed me tonight. And when you guys were talking, I lost my parents. It's been at least 10 years now, and recently lost my brother. And the word that God has been throwing out to me is the word legacy, legacy. Mm. Your parents have left a wonderful legacy. And for you that still have another parent, they're leaving that legacy, and that's what we leave to our children, the legacy that never dies. Mm-hmm. It just passes on. So I'm so grateful to listen to you all tonight. You really blessed me. And I wanted to piggyback on one of the things that Trisha said, you guys, she underestimated, she underspoke the part about wanting to leave Johnson C. Smith. When she said she wanted to leave, for you all to know Trisha, you know how she's a queen, you know how she is, right? So
yeah.
Everywhere Trisha looked in the dorm, it was bugs here, it was nasty this and nasty that. Miss Martha Ann said, you will stay. You will stay. And I had to get my friends up there because I was the one that talked her into going. Had to get my friends. The president of the university came and everything. Trisha still wasn't satisfied. But her mama, Martha Ann, said, you will stay. That's the end of that. And she stayed. And I know she's been blessed by staying. But, again, I just wanted to chime in. I love you guys. You've made an impact on my life. You may never know. Yes, I'm about 10 years older than all of you all, but still, I've learned from you all tonight. So God bless you all. Love you.
God bless you.
Amen. Love you, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. Thank you. Do we have anyone else that wants to make any comments or have any questions?
I just wanted to chime in real quick again and just say that, you know, all of you ladies, I've had that. It's a bond. We recently had breakfast together not too long ago, but it's just amazing how we can continue that. But I just appreciate you all. You're all beautiful women. And Cookie, thank you for following the voice of God to get us together, because this is a form of healing. It's a form of healing. And we all, it's a journey. It's a journey. And I always said, you know, I put myself in work and everything and did the same thing like Rhoda. I work a lot. But I just thank God for just allowing me to be in the presence of seeing his work and see someone transition and to know that it was my father and to know that it was God's will and that's the way he wanted to go. I just thank God for us all being able to share those stories. You just don't know. It's things that I think of. Yeah, that you all sisters have said that has really, really helped. That helps the grief process. And I just appreciate you all. And I love you, ladies. And I want to end with this, that Psalms 29:11, the Lord gives us strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And it's the peace of God that continues to keep me going. It's his peace of knowing that it is all good. So that's all I wanted to say. Love you, ladies.
Love you all, too. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being just a phone call away. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through it all.
Yeah, thank you, Cookie, for the platform, because when you first called me about it, yes, I was excited about doing it, but then as the weeks went on, I was a little nervous because I didn't know, you know, bringing up stuff like that kind of brings things out. And I didn't know if I was going to be emotional. I didn't know how I was going to be. But, you know, I did grow up in church as well. And the words I've always heard in church from my grandma, you know, he will never leave you or forsake you. And he only gives you, you know, he will only give.
Come on.
Amen.
Doesn't give you more than you can bear. So, But that didn't have reference in my life then, because I hadn't been through anything. But then as life goes on and you go through traumatic situations like this, all those words come to pass. And it's true. You know, if you believe. So that's what got me through, because I didn't know when my mom died, I didn't know what I was going to do. But God kept me, and he continues to keep me. And I thank God for you
Roz, and I thank God for all of y'all who are listening, and I thank God for all of my friends on the panel. Thanks.
Thank you, Deidre. All right, so we're going to wrap up with this last question. So, young ladies, if you want to share anything, any words of encouragement, like I said, grief is not something that we all have a time clock on, but any words of encouragement that you would like to share with the listeners, because people will go back and listen to this, and I'll send it out, and you guys can share it with your family and friends. But any words of encouragement, anything, songs, scriptures, you've already shared your fond memories, but anything that you would like to share to wrap up the call. So, Deidre, what's up? No, it's Terry. Terry, what's up with you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just did mine, but my words of encouragement to everyone is just always keep close those special memories. It doesn't always have to, you know, and stay close to the positive things, the things that gave you life, the things that kept you going throughout your life instead of concentrating on the negative part of it, you know, the negative things, because those good memories are a blessing, and it's something like the lady that just shared that you could pass on. Really, they left a legacy. Every one of our parents left a legacy. And those are the things and the memories that we can take on from generation to generation. Because as we know, there are such things as generational curses. But if you could think of those things that gave life and things that you could pass on that are positive for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, those are the things that we should you know, stay on and meditate on the Word. There's nothing like the Word of God, the Scripture that would keep that give you that peace of mind. And just keep close to your friends like we do. So anyone that needs something, concentrate on the goodness of God and the things that he's blessed you with and the legacy that he's given you to carry on.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, Ramithia.
I just want to thank you for this platform. I just want to thank the ladies. Y'all truly just touched me, and just hearing y'all stories, and it finally gave me that last step of grief, the accepting part. And what I want to just say to you guys is what helped me through this process, even I didn't start the depression kicked in when I was in the hospital with COVID. And that's when it started, my whole grieving part, that because I was working myself all the time, I was busy. So I never focused on mom at all because I kept busy with the church, with everything. And so that time when I was out 5 weeks with COVID, it kicked in and it put me in a depression stage that lasted for months. And Cook would call and she's like, I'm checking on you. And it seemed like the Lord always know when to put me on her heart to call me. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. And she's like, I don't like that voice. And so from that point on, I just start saying, Lord, give me strength. And I started living intentionally, doing things on intentional only, making sure that everything I do with the family is intentional. If somebody come to my mind, I intentionally call them or send them a text and say, I woke up thinking about you. I love you. You know, or going to see, I flew out to Denver to see my uncle. He's the last sibling on my dad's side. He's 76. I flew out to see him. I wanted to be intentional. You know, he's the last one and wanted him to know that I do love him. I know that I hadn't seen him in years, but just doing things that matter to me and matter to the people that I love, and to show that more and more and stop taking every day for granted that, you know, we have time to do this, we have time to see somebody. So that's what I wanted to leave, that we continue to live more, do more intentionally with our lives. And I just love you, lady story. And some of you I don't know, I know Rhoda, I know Terry. And I just thank y'all because the strength, even hearing you cry, wrote it hot, the pain, it reminds me so much of my sister. And I tell everybody, you know, they look at me and like I just retired, but my sister and I worked at the same company. My sister came 5 years after I did. I retired after 21 years in September. And they would look at both of us because it was a whole different look how she was take grieving mom versus the way I was grieving. And I tell, even I will tell my family, leave her alone. Everybody grieved different. Y'all not even looking at mom spent the last 20 years in her house living with her. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different relationship. Yes, we her kids as well, but that's a whole different bond than what we had. So now she has to cope. I had a conversation with her the other day, and when she was telling me, she said, Nina, I didn't know, she didn't know any of the passwords to, like, the electric, lights, anything, because mom took care of it. So now she, 3 years later, trying to get her life on track and deal with this because the first 3 years she just was out of it, just going day to day. And so I tell everybody, take your time, however you grieve. There's no wrong or right process, and don't let nobody make you feel a certain way. You know, last year was the first year she came to the house to celebrate with us with the balloon release. Usually she stay in the bed for a week. She need to be here. No, she don't. She need to be in the bed if that's what it takes for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a process for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to thank God and for giving us the strength to move, because we know we only move forward the way we do because we have jobs, we have kids, I have grandkids. So we have to have that strength.
Amen. Okay, Deidre.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's a young lady on here, a new friend of mine. Her name is Merlene Kurt, and she recently lost her mother, and her mother's funeral is Saturday. And I just wanted to let her know, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And my best advice that I could give you is that, you know, don't let nobody, somebody gave me this advice, don't let nobody tell you how long to grieve, because there is no time limit on it. You know, that's your own personal journey between you and God. And it's I'm not even going to lie to you, it's a long road ahead, many emotions. You're happy one day and you're sad the next, and you're angry because you don't understand and all those things like that. But, you know, if you just pray and put God first, he will get you through. It was a long journey for me, hard journey to get to where I am today. But he's seen fit that I made it. And, yes, I'm going to always miss my mother. A part of me left with her. But to know that she is in the presence of the Lord makes it all better. And to also know that my faith says I will see her again one day, and so will you. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Deidre. Okay, Rhoda.
I just want to tell everybody that pray without ceasing. Just continue to pray and ask the Lord for strength. But most of all, ask the Lord to keep your mind.
Because
it's very delicate. Very delicate. So, and you
cannot
judge a book by its cover.
Mm-mm.
People tend to do that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People don't know your story.
That's right.
Unless they walked with you through it. And I just want to say to Terry, Deidre, Cookie, Tricia. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. I love y'all so much, and just thank you.
The words of encouragement that I would like to pass on is to never allow their memory to die and spend time honoring them by doing something they loved.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's good. That's good. I like that. Okay, ladies. Well, I'm going to open it up one more time for anyone that has any comments or questions before we wrap up the evening. Anyone has any questions or comments before we wrap up?
Well, this is Tika. Hi, everybody. Oh, my
God.
I just want to say this is really touching. It's a sensitive subject. I have not lost a parent. But for me, you all, I just want y'all to know, for me, it makes me to make sure I'm still appreciating my parents while they're here. And then also with dealing with other people who lose their parent, I want to be very empathetic, you know, and empathize with them. So y'all stories, you don't know how much you touch. It's a few people that's in my mind right now that I can't wait to share this with, but it was something that I was thinking about, and it's funny, but it's you're going to get it. The movie Waiting to Exhale. It just made me feel like you all were just doing that right now over the phone. And what I got from it too is having friends and sisters and support around you to get through when you're going through is necessary. So thank y'all for sharing your testimonies and your struggle and your how you got over. And I love y'all too. So thank y'all.
Love you, Tika.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else? Okay. Well, again, ladies, I thank you so much for your yes. I love each and every one of you with my entire heart. There are no words that can explain how much I appreciate and I love each one of you. You love me through the good, the bad, the indifferent, and the ugly, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your testimonies. I thank you for coming on and being transparent. That's very important for someone that's going to go back and listen to this or someone that we're trying to reach that might be going through the struggle. You guys have shared your story, and someone is going to be blessed. I know I have been blessed by your story. So continue telling your stories. And again, like Deidre, Tricia, Terry, Ronithia, and Rhoda, no one can tell you how long you, when you need to grieve, how you need to grieve, do it at your own pace. We have a very strong support system. I'm here for you, you know, no matter what. But the one thing I do appreciate about our friendship is that we're transparent with each other. So I appreciate that. So continue on doing the things of God. I hope this is just the beginning of something great for each and every one of you. God bless you. God keep you. Everyone that came in on the line tonight, and for those that will go back and listen, thank you. Thank you for your time. Again, this is Roslyn, the host on the Detour Radio Show. If anyone inspires to be a guest, please contact me at 972-292-8544. Or you can send me an email at whatisyourdetour@gmail.com. Even if you inspire to have your own platform, this platform is a safe house for many of us. If you want to host your own show, please get in contact with me. So, again, good night, everyone. I do appreciate your time. I love you, and God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
Love you all.
Good night, y'all.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.